Tonight to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, please. And we're looking at the chapter 4. Philippians and the 4th chapter, please. Now we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 8. The Apostle Paul is bringing his letter to a conclusion. That's Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 8. The Apostle Paul is bringing his epistle to a conclusion. But just before he finishes his epistle, his letter to these saints at Philippi, there are one or two more things that he wants to say to them. And so we read in verse 8 that the apostle says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." How important that word is. Think on these things. How important the mind is. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones has a tremendous sermon, which I recommend to you, if you can get your hands on it, entitled "The Battle for the Mind." The battle for the mind. And that's exactly what's going on today. It's a battle for the minds of men. There is a great reset. People talk about a great reset, but they think in terms of a political, financial kind of reset. But there is an effort to reset the thought patterns of men, an effort to make us think differently from what we used to think, to think what we used to think was right is now wrong, and what we used to think was wrong is now right. They want us to look upon evil as good and good as evil. Of course, we should expect that. That is predicted in the Word of God at the end times. That will happen, and it's happening. So we're in the end times, brethren and sisters. So it's important. The mind is very important, and there's a great battle on for the mind. Great battle on for the mind. And the world is trying to influence, the devil's trying to influence our minds. That's why you need to be very careful what you watch, what you look at, what you read, what you allow into your minds. Because a lot of this writing of these stories and these films and these programs, they put in thoughts in there that perhaps you don't recognize at first, but they're conditioning you to think along a certain line, away from the old-fashioned Christian principles and the Word of God, and thinking about the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the joys of the world, things concerning this world, and telling you to accept and conditioning you to accept things which before our fathers and our forefathers would have rejected out of hand. So there's a battle going on for the mind. And it's important that we fill the mind with the right things and that we don't leave the mind idle, but that we constantly fill the mind and fill it with the things which the apostle speaks of here. In the first Psalm, we're told, "Blessed is the man," of course, who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth meditate day and night, perpetually, continually filling his mind with the law of God, the Word of God. And we ought to think much, not just are we reading in the morning, we reading at night, but our minds should be filled with the Word of God all the day through, 24 hours a day, every day of the week, every day of the year. Our mind should focus on the Word of God. So the Apostle says to us here, that's not the sermon, that's just the reading. He tells us, whatsoever things are honest, are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, or there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Fill your mind with the right things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's another important wee word. It's not enough just to think upon that which is good and wholesome and lovely, but it's important to do it, to put it into action in our lives, to conform our lives according to the Word of God, and to do that which is lovely and pure and holy and so on. The apostle did that, for he could say, the things that you've seen in me, do. Follow my example, that we might be examples to those around us. Those things which ye have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What a blessed prayer. On every hand, anxious about everything. But if we heed the Word of God and heed the Apostles' advice here, the God of peace, he tells us, shall be with us. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, verse 10, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. It wasn't that they'd forgotten about him, but they had an opportunity to express their love and concern for him. Not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not saying these things because I need anything or I want anything of you. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's quite a statement. Read the life of the Apostle Paul, and you'll see the many different states he found himself in. He says, I have learned to be content with whatever state I find myself in. I'm content, knowing it's of the Lord. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul here tells us, and that's the first I want to direct your attention to for a little while, especially tonight before we pray. The apostle says, I can do all things. I can do all these things. We read of him being content in every circumstance, every situation, and we say to ourselves, how can that be? And the apostle tells us how he does it. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was reading in my general reading. I regret that I didn't take note of the book. And of course, I have a lot of books. And the particular book I was reading and the page and the chapter and the place where it was, I should have recorded that so I could go back to it. But the story itself, at least the gist of the story itself, has stuck with me. It concerned an elderly man of God. He's getting towards the end of his life. Things hadn't been going too well for him. And he was quite down. And maybe not depressed, but down low in spirits. And a colleague and a friend of his came around to comfort him and encourage him. And so he started to read the scriptures, trying to encourage him through the scriptures and give him all these texts as to how he should live, what he should do, how he should behave, and so on and so forth. And the old man turned to him and said, "Brother, don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. Tell me how to do it. How to do it." And don't we all know what to do? But our problem often is, how do I do it? How did Paul do this? Paul gives us the answer. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's Paul's secret. The secret of his contentment in every situation in life. He derives strength to do so through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that he said that he could do all things. Notice his confidence. He says, "I can do all things." No doubt about it. No doubt about it. He's absolutely confident. He's sure of it. Here's something he has power to do. Here's something he has the strength to do. Here's something he has done and will continue to do. "I can do. I can do." He's confident in that. Not, "I hope I can do it. Perhaps I can do it. I'll try to do it. But I can do it." And then he tells us how. He says, "I can do all things." So he continues on. And that's a big statement too. "I can do all things." Now that "all things" obviously is limited in the sense he couldn't make the worlds. He wasn't God. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. There are limitations. But all that God requires of him, he could do. For the Lord Jesus would give him the strength to do. He could endure all trials. And we know that the Apostle Paul had many, many trials in his life. You read his life story. You wonder indeed how he could be content. Half drowned, beaten continually, stoned, left for dead, imprisoned, forsaken by friends. "Demas has left me, having loved this present evil world," he said, "and others forsook him. But the Lord stood by him." So he had to suffer much. He had many trials. From his conversion, the Lord himself said that he was a chosen vessel unto him, and he would show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake, the Lord said concerning him. And surely he suffered great things for the Lord's sake. And so he says, "But I'm able for it. Not that I have any strength in myself. When I say I can do all things," he says, "I'm not saying I can do it out of any personal, physical, or mental abilities. No, I can do it through Christ. I can't do it of myself. But when I am weak, then am I strong." Because he exchanges his weakness for the strength of the Lord. So he could endure all trials. Let the devil, let the world throw what it will at him. Let whatever providence comes to him, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, he could endure it all with contentment. He could endure it all through Christ, who strengthened him in all his trials. And you know, brethren and sisters, we can say, like the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Because the Lord didn't only strengthen Paul to be able to do these things and to be content in every situation. He does this for all his saints, all his children, every believer, every child of God who casts themselves upon him and looks to him and trusts in him and depends upon him. They too can say, "I can do all things I can endure every trial. I can endure it because I know the Lord's in it. And I know the Lord is with me in it. Though I pass through the waters, they'll not overflow me through the rivers. They'll not overflow me and through the fire. I'll not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon me. For the Lord my God is with me. And so whatever trial you're coming through or having to face, something maybe you're dreading. We all get news like that, don't we? Sometimes we're sat down and we're given news that we don't like to hear. News that is frightening. News that involves suffering, pain, unpleasantness, sorrow, grief. But we can do all things through Christ. He will give us the power. He'll give us the strength. He'll be with us in all our trials, no matter what they are, no matter how great they are, no matter how many they are, how deep they are, how black they are. He'll be with us. Paul could perform all duties that God required of him. Whatever the Lord asked him to do, he was sure he could do it. Not in his own strength. He knew he had no strength of his own. But he knew that he could do it in the strength which the Lord would give him. You see, brethren and sisters, the Lord never asks us to do anything that he will not give us the strength and ability to do. You can rest assured of that. I love reading through the Gospels and the Lord Jesus and his wonderful miracles. He said to a man with an arm that was no use to him, that was dead, was withered, he said to him, stretch forth your arm, stretch forth your hand. Now, I'm sure that man had tried to do that 1,000 times. It was in his best interest to do that. He didn't want to be disabled like that, especially in those days. There was no kind of government support or anything like that. So Jesus says, stretch forth your hand. And lo and behold, what did he do? Immediately he stretched it forth. Where did he get that strength? The Lord gave him the strength to do it. The Lord said to the blind man, see, and he saw. He said to the dead man, live, and he lived. He said to the lame man, walk, and he walked. And whatever he says to you to do, you can do it. He'll give you the strength, the power, the ability to do it. Never, never does he ask us to do anything that we cannot do, or that he will not help us and enable us to do. We may not be able to do it ourselves, in ourselves, no strength in ourselves, and the sooner we realize that, the better. We have no strength in ourselves, but if we rely on his strength, we can do it. We can perform any duty. Perhaps the Lord has laid something in your heart and you know it's your duty to do it, but you're hesitant. You're holding back. You're afraid. You're fearful. What it will involve. You don't think you can manage it. You don't think you can do it. Well, in yourself, no doubt you can't. But you can do it through Christ, who strengthens you. Paul could overcome his old nature. You remember how he complained about the old man till he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And the evil which I wouldn't do, I do, and the good that I would, I don't. I'm unable to do. There's a law in my members leading me to sin. Oh, how shall I escape this body of death? This old flesh, these fleshly, sinful inclinations and desires that remain even in the converted after their conversion and remain with us till we get home to glory. He says, the answer is through Christ. Through Christ, he could overcome all the sinful tendencies, all the promptings, all the urgings of the old sinful nature, the old sinful man, all the temptations. He could overcome them all through the strength which Christ gives. So we can say, no, I'm not going to do that. The devil comes and he suggests something to us. We can say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And we can resist him. And we can refuse to submit to his temptation through the power which Christ gives. Through Christ. And we can live a holy life in an unholy world, surrounded by sin of every kind, this cesspit of a world that we're in. It's sickening, this world that we're in. Sickening. And it's getting worse by the day. Now, it's always been evil, it's always been bad, but this wee country of ours enjoyed the benefits of revival and the gospel for years, but that's sort of wearing off now. And now there are laws and their activities being put forward as being good and proper and right. And if you don't go with them, you're a bigot. And would bring a blush to the cheek of modesty to even mention the things that are going on around us. And we see on every hand. And we hear. Our ears are assaulted by blasphemous words. You dare not blaspheme the name of Muhammad, but you can blaspheme the name of Christ to your heart's content in this world, this wicked world of ours. But by God's grace and with God's strength, we can overcome these things in our old sinful nature. Sloth, temper, covetousness, self-will, pride, ambition, greed, all these things are still in us. The seeds of them are all there. Listen, God may keep you back and restrain these things in you, but let God lift his hand off you and you'll be as bad and as wicked as any sinner. But bless God through the power which he gives, through Christ, through the grace and the strength that he gives, we can overcome these things. We can be content, like Paul, in whatever state we find ourselves in. We can be content, like the Apostle Paul. He said, but you don't know what I have to suffer. You don't know what I have to face. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know what the difficulties. You don't know the hardships I have. You don't know the extreme conditions. Well, listen, I'm sure that you are going through difficult times. I'm not saying that, I'm not making light of them. I'm not trying to make them less than what they are. But I'm saying this, at least Paul is saying this, the scriptures are saying this, God is saying this. You can attain to that place of contentment, whatever your circumstances. You can go into that operation, a serious one, and say, I'm in God's hands. I'm not a bit worried. He's given his angels charge over me to bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. He has given his angels charge to encamp around those that love him and fear him, watching over us. And behind all those kind, loving people who care for us, and I've had experience of them, lovely people, skilled people, and I thank God for every one of them and I pray for them. But behind them all was the Lord, you know. The Lord. They were angels, as it were, in bodily form, looking after me, doing wonderful things. I said to one wee nurse, she was in at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, you're not going home. This was in the evening. She said, I'm not going home. Do you go home? And it was so wonderful. I could feel the Lord in that room, and in that theater. So, we can be content. I'm in God's hands. Come what may. Whether I'm rich, well, you can say I can be content in that, can you? And some people have more worries because of their riches. They don't know what to do with it, or how to handle it, or where to invest it, and worried about what's going to go wrong with their investments. When you have nothing, you have nothing to worry about. Yeah. One man said, I have enough to do me the rest of my life, if I die before the end of the week. Whether you're rich or poor, in health or in sickness, happy times, sorrowful times, you can be content. That doesn't mean you don't feel these things. It doesn't mean that if trouble and sorrow and grief comes your way, and bereavements come your way, that you don't feel that. The Lord wept. So he felt that. He wept in sympathy with humanity, not just with Mary and Martha, but with humanity. And so we feel these things. We're only human. But we can be content, for we know the Lord's there. I was listening to a tape, or watching really, a videotape of a man called Wurmbrand, Richard Wurmbrand. Now, he was a pastor, I think he was a Lutheran pastor, and in Romania, and the Soviet Union, the Communist Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, took over the country, and he was imprisoned for his faith in Christ, for speaking out boldly. I don't know anything about the man, I don't know anything about the denomination to which he belonged or anything else, but I just listened to his story and what he suffered. He was thrown into a dungeon of a prison. He was hung up by the feet, upside down. He was beaten with batons and tortured in all manner of terrible ways. Wasn't allowed to speak to another human being, only his tormentors. He kept in isolation and darkness. Didn't know whether it was day or night. Didn't know what day of the week it was. What week of the year it was, what month it was, went through all that. But you know, he said this, in that dungeon, he says, I didn't see the dank, dark, damp walls because of the presence of Christ in the cell. He says, it glowed. I don't doubt that it did. It was a bit of heaven in a cell. Why not? The Apostle Paul said that he was thrown in prison, and he says, the Lord stood by me in the prison. So we can be content. Not through our own strength. Not through any inherent power in ourselves, for we are perfect weakness. But through the strength which Christ gives us. All that Paul accomplished, he accomplished through the strength which Christ gave him. And what he accomplished, I listened to another documentary. I tend to fill up on these things a wee bit, just to see how the world is running, how God's running the world. And it was supposed to be a religious program. It was on the origins of Christianity. And they were dealing with the Apostle Paul and his ministry and the effects of his ministry and his labors and how successful he was in spreading the gospel. And this man blasphemously said Christianity owed more to Paul than to Christ. Of course, the man was in darkness. Paul knew that all that he did and all he accomplished, he did it through Christ, through the strength and the power that Christ gave to him. Did it all through the Lord. We can overcome the evil one himself. We can prevail in prayer through the Lord. I remember going through a period of time, maybe you've always been content with your prayer life, but I went through a period of time and wondered, how could the Lord listen to that prayer? You know, I listened to other brethren who could, boy, could they pray. They could quote the Bible, they could quote verses of hymn. They had great flow. But I felt my prayers were miserable things. How could the Lord accept that? Do you know what encouraged me? I lifted Spurgeon's daily reading. And he took that text from Leviticus where the altar of incense, the incense that was burned on the altar in the tabernacle and also in the temple. And he brought out this point. He says, the blood was on the horns of the altar. And it was the blood that made that worship, that incense, which typified and signified the worship to God, made it acceptable to God. The power was in the blood. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Now I know when I come, it's not my ability to frame or form great flowing prayers. I just tell the Lord it like I feel and as best I can, trusting not in how I tell it, but trusting in the blood that is accepted. And it's the blood that gives your prayers power. So we can pray. Oh, there are many ways which the Lord does this. Through his Holy Spirit, he strengthens our faith. He makes us strong in faith. We find our faith to be strengthened. We find it with this wonderful, amazing realization that I can believe. I do believe. And he strengthens our faith, and by this means, he helps us, enables us to be content, to do the things he tells us to do, and to do all the things we've been talking about. Sometimes he makes us very bold. There was that man, Wurmbrand. He was in a big convention of preachers. And all the preachers were very... All the speakers were very careful not to offend communism. So they were watching what they said. But when it came to his turn, and he stood up boldly in front of that place, knowing it was full of these secret policemen and all the rest listening to all he said, and he declared communism to be a great evil and of the devil, and to be resisted, and you men ought to speak out against it. He was arrested after that. But he got boldness. Boldness. That wasn't something you could do in your own set. I couldn't do it anyway. But he got boldness. And you read through. They weren't apostles. They weren't great Bible teachers and so on. Just ordinary people. Plowboys. Farmers. Men and women. Young people. And they were able to face the flames and the fire for Christ's sake. And even as listening to the news over in Pakistan, not Pakistan, but the soldiers were just withdrawn there. The Taliban's in charge of it now. And they're killing people. They're murdering people. And they're murdering Christians. Men, women, and children, murdering families. And one woman said it wouldn't shake her faith in Christ, that she could face it through Christ. Made bold. That's the Lord, you know. Sometimes he gives us a preview of glory. We sort of get a wee glimpse into heaven. Not actual, but in our minds, he makes us aware of the glory that awaits us. He quickens our mental faculties. He imparts to us a selflessness, not selfishness, a selflessness. And thereby helps us in all these ways. So, dear brethren and sisters, we can do all things through Christ. Don't ever imagine you can't. When the Lord tells you to do something or asks you to do something, you can do it through him, through the strength which he will give you. You may not be able to do it on your own, and you cannot do it on your own, but you can do it through Christ. This should be an encouragement to those who are seeking to serve the Lord. Oh, how hard it is. You're teaching that wee Sunday school class. You think they're not paying you any attention. You think you're getting nowhere. How can you win them? You can win them through the power the Lord will give you. Preachers hit the same thing. You know, they're up preaching, and sometimes you look down there and there are people, you know, as the saying goes, the lights are on, but nobody's home. They're looking, and there's a glaze over their eyes. Yeah, they're not with you at all. Yeah. And some, the Bible falls off the knee as they chirp, they're falling asleep, or almost. Then you get discouraged. But you preach on, because you'll get through. Get through to those whom God has ordained to eternal life. Encouragement to service. And so warning not to go forth in our own strength, for we will fail if we do. And it's a challenge. If we can do all things through Christ, how is it that some Christians are doing nothing? Seem to be happy. Oh, I've got saved. I've asked the Lord into my heart. I've got a ticket into heaven here in my back pocket. Whenever my life's over and I've had a good time, a good life, and a nice time, and I knock on those pearly gates, I'll just take that, my ticket. Doing nothing. A life wasted. My friend, if that's your attitude, you need to look again at your hope of glory. But since we can do all things through Christ, we should make it our business to do all things. You see, the Lord works it in us, the Bible says. But we work it out. It's a combined thing. The Lord puts it in our hearts to do it. He gives us strength to do it. But we have to do it. I might say to you, there's a car out there, mine. You can have it. There's the keys. Take it. There's no chance of that happening. But I could say that to you. It's the only one I've got. You probably wouldn't want it anyway. You'd want to pick a better one. But anyway, you could get the keys, but you'd have to drive it. I could sign it over to you, but you'd have to drive it away to make it yours. And the Lord gives you the power, he gives you the strength, but you have to use it. Make use of it. And go out and do it. And you'll come back again like the apostle and say, I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Now we're going to get to prayer. We're going to seek the Lord. We'd encourage as many as possible to pray. So let us begin our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the encouragement it is to our hearts. We thank thee that this is something which is open to us all who know thee and love thee and serve thee and are born again of thy Holy Spirit and washed in thy precious blood and seeking to live for thee. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not just something that the Apostle Paul is able to do. We're all able to do whatever thou dost lead us to do or tell us to do, to suffer whatever we have to suffer, to endure whatever we have to endure, to face whatever affliction we have to face, to perform every duty you require of us, to live contentedly in every situation we find ourselves in, knowing that we're in the hands of the Lord, who's working all things together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. O Lord, help us to put thy word into action, to follow the apostles' example, and to go forth and seek to do all things, and to do them through the power which thou alone canst give. Lead us on now in prayer, we ask of thee, in Jesus' name. Amen.